Let's pray, and we'll have a look at John chapter 8, second half. Lord, we want to thank you. We've got the Bible in our own language, Lord. Thank you for the translators who spent many hours trying to get just the right words to convey what you want us to understand. I pray, Lord, that the help of your Holy Spirit may be ours tonight too, Lord. For without his help, we really won't get it. So we just ask your blessing, and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 8, and halfway through, pick up from verse 30. An interesting verse is verse 30, where it says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Sounds like we're doing progress, doesn't it? But you see in the next section, there's a difference between believing in him and believing him. They go a bit off. But I'd like to offer this as a possible suggestion. There may well be amongst that off crowd, John 8, verse 13. John 8, verse 30, 30. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Is that the one? It is in John 8. Have you got John?
John 8.
Yeah.
And it says online, verse 30. Where am I? Am I on the right place?
I don't think you're on the right place.
It's before the children of Abraham.
Eh?
Nothing you said.
No.
I think we'll have to find this out for a guess. It's,
got one,
it's a sign.
Yes.
8, verse 30.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Even as he spoke,
many put their faith. The last verse. Yes, Jesus. So I said we start at verse 30. Yeah, because the next section shows us that those who put their faith in him, it was a temporary phenomenon. A bit like Judas in a way. I'm sure Judas believed in Jesus, didn't he?
Yeah.
In that sense that he thought Jesus was the Messiah. But the problem was he had his own ideas of what Messiah should be, and when the two clashed, Judas pulls away. Well, this is what's happening in this little section as well. Although I'd like to think that some of them might have got it. We trust that the Lord's at work in people even if they don't quite get it to start with. Anyway, that's the end of that verse, right? So we go to verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So Jesus is spelling out to these people who say they believe in him. He says they believed in him, right? Jesus offers them this word of challenge and warning. He says, the proof of the pudding, well, he doesn't use those terms, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, right? If it's real, it will show, right? And he used a more biblical phrase, by their fruit you will know them. So he's saying is, if you hold to my teaching, to hold on me is to keep it, to make it part of your life. Is Jesus' teaching part of our lives? That's the question. Because if it is, then we really are his disciples. Yeah, it's no good saying, this is what happens in our country, isn't it? We'll find it with the Jews here, but it happens in our country. We're born in the Christian country, we're Christians, aren't we? See, they all come out with that nonsense. Yeah, and Jesus is saying is, you want to prove you're a real genuine one? Hold to my teaching. Right, so that's the test. So Jesus is challenging them. If you hold to my teaching, then you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Right. That's wonderful. Yeah. It's a great verse, and it's a really wonderful verse, but those that were listening to it got really miffed about that, as we'll see. But just look at what the verse says then. Jesus says you'll know the truth. You'll know it. It'll be. You'll understand it. You'll get it.
Yeah.
It's part of the way you see now. I mean, you must be able to all that. We've looked back over the years. Before I became a Christian, I'd read the Bible in bits, you know. But it was just a book. But now, you get to know him. All of a sudden, you know the truth. It's real. And the truth sets you free in the sense that you're now able to experience his relationship with him and know his forgiveness and his love. It's good. Right, so, we're free now, aren't we?
Yep.
What are we free from?
Everything.
Everything. Sin, judgment.
Yep.
Yeah, right. That's what we're free from. So, Jesus is talking to dyed-in-the-wool, certified, circumcised, guaranteed, all kosher Jews. So when he says to them, if you believe me, you'll be free. Right? What's their reaction going to be is, as you'll see, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been as slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Yeah? We don't need freeing. We're okay. Yeah, you got it. So they said, we're Abraham's descendants. We're the real thing. Yes, the genuine real thing. Abraham's descendants, and we'd never be slaves of anyone. Well, I mean, they've got short memories, is all I can say. Yeah, they're slaves of the Romans now.
I was one of the things. The Romans were lords in it, but
yes. Well, they've had the Babylonians, they've had the Greeks, they've had the Persians. What they're getting at, I suspect, is, you know, while they've been slaves physically of many nations, they always consider themselves, these guys, superior spiritually.
Yeah.
You know? We've got the real thing, and you peasants worshipping your idols and all your false gods, we know the real stuff. So we might be captives, but the real... And that's true. I mean, in a sense, there is a truth in that. I've said this when I've been up at the prison, speaking there, you know? It's not doors and bars that keep you prisoners.
No.
Yeah? It's the sins in your life that make you a prisoner. You could be more free as a prisoner than some of the officers.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, anyway, Jesus is spelling it out to them, and they don't like it, of course, because he's telling them about their sins, really, and that's they don't quite get it. They think it's just about freedom and all that stuff. How can you say we shall be set free? Because they don't really... The problem is this, and it's true with anybody you want to share the gospel with. Yeah? They won't want to hear the gospel unless they realise they need saving from their sins. That's the problem. If they think they're okay, why should they want Jesus?
And they used to do a weekly sacrifice, they believed.
They've got all the ritual, yeah, it was all there, all the rigmaroles, all there, yes. And it was God-given. That's the sad thing. And like I said, people could go to church. I've been to church since I was so high, you know. And I pay my dues, I sing the hymns, and turn up when I'm supposed to. I must be a Christian. Maybe not.
But they think they are, but it may be the teaching, Dennis. Isn't it?
Well, it may be, but it's true. I mean, it's true. It is a teaching, yeah? But I can remember, I'm not being unkind here, I think, when I went to the church at Soham when I was a young lad, well, 20-odd, you know, in those days, I know there were people in that congregation that had sat in pews for years, and they still thought they were Christians because they turned up.
The teaching
was good.
Yeah, was it?
Well, let's face it, Dennis.
Yeah.
When we sat there, we've been to church every year.
Yeah.
I thought I knew it, and there's a lot of people the same.
And it's true. And I'm not criticising them in the wrong sense. All I'm saying is that's how they are. But unless God works in your heart and you respond to that,
the
you'll be the same. We're not superior.
I went to St John's Church and I was confirmed in St John's Church, and I believe that in my confirmation was my born again experience.
Right.
But they didn't teach that, so I knew nothing.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that may be in some other places.
Well,
all I'm saying is,
your ears weren't open.
Yeah, yeah. You can have the finest teaching. You can have the finest teaching. If you're not responding to it, it's doing you no good. I mean, you can't have a better teacher than Jesus. I mean, they've really got the top pastor on the game, haven't they? Here, and they don't get it. Well, anyway, let's carry on. So
we know Jesus. We're chosen, aren't we?
We are chosen, yes, there is a, there's that, but they were chosen.
What are we chosen? What am I chosen?
Yeah, but you have to choose to go to him.
Yes, but there's a choice in God's path.
Just sat and banged with me.
Yeah.
You know.
Why are you chosen, brother? What's the, well, there's a good question.
He made you and he loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why did he choose someone else? There's better people than me on this earth.
Exactly. That's true.
He died for sinners.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Give the sin.
That's right, yeah. The mystery, Ron, is... The mystery is God wants all people to know him.
Yes, that's why.
But the response of all people isn't the same.
No.
Yeah, and those who do respond to him, in some way God has worked in their lives as well. Jesus says, unless the Father draws them to him, they can't respond. Well, that's a mystery. I do not know. It's not God saying, oh, I flick a coin. There's Ron Wool.
That's right, yeah.
All right, he's in. Yeah? Oh, Joe Bloggs. Yeah. Oh, sorry, mate, you've had it. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
I find that hard in John, though, when it says that Jesus says, I have, you know, get those that you designed sort of for me to have.
Yeah, yeah.
That is quite a difficult concept in a way, except, you know, when you know the Lord, you just think he's so loving and fair somehow.
Yes.
But it is a difficult concept.
Yeah. The difficult concept is because we think everybody's deserving. I'm not saying you think that, but the problem is nobody deserves to be saved.
That's
the baseline.
Nobody deserves
to be saved, and so if God chooses to save some, that's his prerogative. And Jesus used the parable about that. Do you remember the man in the vineyard? He was working away.
Yeah, right,
and the chap was slogging away, or that he had the boss, had workers there. And he went out in the afternoon, and there were people standing around doing nothing. So he says, get in the fields, I'll pay you when it's time. Yeah. And then the last hour, gets a group still turned up, and go in the fields, I'll pay you when it's time. You know. And so when pay time comes, he gets them to all line up, and the last one's in, it pays the same as the guy at the end, right? And the ones at the end, I mean, when they see that bloke at the front getting a good wage, they think they're doing their calculations, you know, think, oh, I'm really in for a good one here, and they get the same. What's the message Jesus is trying to say is, salvation is the same whether you start late or early, makes no odds. It's, and then he says, why are you grumbling because I want to give my money to who I want to, right? And the same question is, why are you grumbling because God wants to save some if he chooses to do it his way?
Only God said to Moses, I will have mercy on you.
I just look at it when I hear those words. It's just so humbling.
It is, and
you know, I mean, you're just awestruck. Like I think Ron was trying to say, you know, why are you included in this?
Well,
I know you've just said it, but...
There's a lovely verse by, or a lovely quote from Spurgeon, and he was one who believed in God's salvation, sovereign salvation. But he had a lovely phrase, and it was a prayer, I think, he made.
Yeah.
He says, oh Lord, save the chosen, and then choose some more.
Yeah.
And he gave the gospel to anybody and everybody, because he knew that God could call and save anybody, which is the truth, yeah?
Well, it says he came for all
people. Yeah, anyway, you've got us on the interesting track there. But anyway, all right. Jesus says to them, how can you say we're slaves? And then Jesus answers them. Jesus replies in verse 34, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Yeah? So he's saying, the problem for you guys is, it's not your ancestry, it's what you are and what you've done is the problem that makes you a slave. Yeah, it's your sins. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And what he means by anyone who sins in that sense doesn't mean to say that, you know, a sin that you commit makes you a slave, because Christians sin, don't they? Right, we do, don't we?
Yes,
right, yeah. But what John's getting at, and he says it in his letter, anyone who keeps on sinning, anybody who's got that lifestyle of sin, they are in slavery. Yeah, just like the druggies, isn't it? Yeah. So basically, he's saying is anyone who keeps on the sin line, you're a slave. Yeah. Now then, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So he's using this idea about being in a family, and obviously there were slaves in those days, still are, aren't they? Unfortunately, but the idea being is that the slave is just in the household, but he doesn't belong. Really, but the son is part of the family. Yeah. So then he says this. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Right? If I'm part of the family and I make you one of mine, because he adopts us into his family, then you're part of the family too, and you really are free then.
Amen.
Yeah. So if the son sets you free, you'll really be free. Now then, he tackles their ideas. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, so he's giving them the concession. They are physically descended from Abraham. They could trace their pedigree right back to Abraham. Yeah? They kept long lists, you know, that you read them in the Bible, yeah? They knew who great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was. Yeah? So they could trace their ancestry back to Abraham. So he said, I know you descended from Abraham, but you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you that I have seen what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you've heard from your father. Well, he's We'll pick that up in a minute. But Jesus is saying is, right, you call yourself Abraham's descendants, and yet you've got murder in your hearts. Right? And then says, and the reason you're doing that is because you've no room for my word. If there's no room in his word, for Jesus' word in our lives, then what's controlling us isn't God, it's the enemy ultimately, yeah? And our own sinful behaviour. Yeah. So, I'm just telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence. I like that. Jesus says, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Right, so, and you do what you heard from your father. Now then, that's a sterling phrase. You, what are you doing that you've heard from? Which father are they talking about?
Their father.
Their father.
Yeah.
Their natural father. Yeah. Well, Jesus doesn't mean their natural father. He spells it out in a minute. But he says, they go this, Abraham's our father, they answered. Yeah? That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Abraham's our father. Well, Jesus just admitted that they're descendants of Abraham. He's getting at it a bit deeper than that. He says, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. Yes?
Yeah.
So if you really were a descendant of Abraham, not just physically, but with the same mindset, the same spirituality that Abraham had, then you would do things differently. That's a really challenging word. Paul picks it up in Romans. He says, not all Jews are Jews, you know. That's what he says, what he uses the word Israel.
Because
not all Israel is Israel.
Abraham all the time was blessing people,
yeah,
wasn't he?
But, and Paul picks it up in Galatians as well. Abraham had more than one kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had Ishmael,
mm-hmm,
natural one. Yeah. And Abraham had Isaac, the spiritual one. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he says, the natural one didn't get it. It's the spiritual one that was the blessing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying about these, you may be physical descendants of Abraham. Great! That's good, because there's lots of privileges go with it, he says. But if you haven't got the mindset and the spirituality that Abraham had, it's no good. Yeah? And I can say, we it's in Romans, he says, if I can find it, it's about chapter 3, I think. Let me just see. Yeah, it's chapter 2, actually. End of chapter 2, verse 28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, and not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Yeah? That's a really profound truth. He's saying is, your ancestry doesn't count in the sense of your relationship with God. Your ancestry counts in it sets you up for some good things. Yeah, there's lots of benefits of having a godly background. Yeah, but like you say, grandmother's not going to save
That's
you.
It, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's grandmother's faith. It's for grandmother. Yeah, but he says that outwardly, and let me translate it into church language. Yeah, he says the man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly. A man is not a Christian if he's only one outwardly, and nor is his baptism merely inward and outward and physical. No, a man is a Christian if he's one inwardly, and the baptism is the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Yeah? It's got to be real. That's what Jesus is getting at, so they get rather upset about it. Okay, so down back to verse 40 now. You would do the things Abraham did if you were Abraham's children. As it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Yeah. Now it's interesting that that's the one time that Jesus uses the phrase about himself as a man. He calls himself the Son of Man normally, but here he's saying, here I am, a human being that's got God's message, and you won't be listening. That's your problem. I've got the truth from God. Abraham did not do such things. What did Abraham do when he heard things from God?
He fell down and worshipped.
He worshipped him, and he did them. He believed them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Melchizedek, he
yes, yes, that's true, amongst others, yeah. So, you are, now then, Jesus comes back to this, you are doing what the things your own father does. Right, so he's saying, the idea of father is more than just physical. He's saying that, isn't he? Because he knows that Abraham's their father. But by the way, just to say this, when the Bible uses the term somebody's father, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean their literal physical father immediately. So we can say Jesus' father was David, King David, you know? It means he's a descendant of.
Fourth
yeah, an ancestor type thing, yeah. So anyway, you're doing what your father does, and Jesus is talking about more than just natural descent. Right, yeah. Jesus says, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. So they get quite upset about this. We are not illegitimate children. That may be a reference to the matter of Isaac and Ishmael. Although Ishmael was legitimate, because that's the way they did things in those days, yeah? But they're saying is, you know, we're the genuine people, right? And it may be a nasty poke at Jesus.
Yeah, that is illegitimate.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
Yeah? So, but anyway, we're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. So they've got the point, there's more to father than physical. So the only father we have is God. That's what they say, right? Yeah. So Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you really love God, you'd love his son. Yeah. So there's a reverse test, and John says it in his letter. If you don't love the son, you can't be loving the father either.
No excuses.
Yes. So, and I've come from God. So, if you don't love me, then you don't love God, right? And if you don't love God, he's not your father. That's what he's getting at. Yes. So, I have not come on my own, but he sent me. He's Messiah, in other words. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. They don't get it because they're deaf. And what makes, I mean, there's the spiritual side to their deafness, I agree. But what makes them deaf is their prejudice as well. They will not believe that this guy in front of them could possibly be the Messiah. Yeah, God's son.
Partly because it's Joseph from down the road.
Yes.
Jesus from down the road.
Yeah.
Joseph's son.
Yes.
And they were expecting a king to come.
Exactly. It doesn't match up to their thinking. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, why can't you get it? Is what he's saying. It must have been very frustrating. You belong to your father, and now he tells them, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and father of lies. So Jesus spells it out. You know, you may be descendants of Abraham, but you know who your real dad is? It's the devil. Well, they wouldn't like that, would they?
Right?
Yes. Yes.
The thing is, I mean, people in church would like that, would they, if you taught them that?
But if you harbour murder in your heart, he's saying, is, you know where murder came from in the first place? It was Satan who did it.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a killer. He killed Adam and Eve, effectively, by cutting them off from God. Right, he got Cain to murder his brother Abel. Yeah, so that's what he says. So the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Yes? Yeah, from the beginning. Now then, I've just got to say this, and I'm sure we'll all agree here today, but it's an important truth to make very clear. Jesus believed in an actual devil. Believe that. And he actually believed that it was at the beginning that Satan caused the problems. He believes in the temptation and the fall of Adam and Eve. I mean, how outdated can you get and believe in things like that?
As his strong God, he would have known anyway.
He knows! He was there, yeah?
I'm reading Job, and I mean, the Lord had a conversation with the devil, didn't he?
Yes. Yes.
So he knew.
So all I'm saying is, I can take you to churches not far from here where you'll never hear the devil mentioned because they don't believe in the devil.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not being critical in that sense.
They don't believe in the devil. They just think he's a concept.
Yes.
But they don't believe in Jesus.
Well, that's the problem. There was a phrase. Yeah. There was a phrase by Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, the well-known Welsh preacher. A few years ago now, and he was a clever guy, and he said, you know, the greatest test of whether someone's a believer or not is, it's not, don't ask them if they believe in God, ask them do they believe in the devil. Yeah, that really will test whether they're believers or not.
I mean, Jesus is tested by the devil.
Yes,
when he goes into the wilderness.
And he was, and the important point is that Jesus didn't imagine it because that would be sinful. Yeah? He would be thinking sinful things. Yeah? But Jesus was tempted from outside because sin couldn't enter into. Yeah? Anyway, so Jesus believes this is the devil. That's what I'm getting at. And he's telling these people, the devil's been on your case. He's been working in you, obviously. Yeah? And he says, when he speaks his native language. What when he lies, yeah? Isn't that interesting? That's the way the devil works. He works through lies. So does the devil tell the truth?
No.
If it's advantageous to him.
If it's advantageous to him is the answer, yeah? He'll tell you the truth, yeah? But let me just give you an example. When the demons were being chucked out after people, and Jesus was commanding them to come out, they kept saying, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God." And he told them to shut up. And when that girl was walking along behind them, when Paul was in Athens, I believe, and she kept shouting out, "These guys are telling you how to be saved." And it was a demon that was speaking, yeah? And Paul told it to shut up and get out.
Well, in the wilderness, he told Jesus what he could do, didn't he? Yes. But Jesus said, "I'm not going to..."
Yeah, when he says something, it's twisted, always twisted. Yeah. It's for his advantage. So when they were saying, you know, "You're the Son of God," right? Jesus was saying is, "You're going to mess up my ministry." Mm. Yeah, it's not time for them to know that yet. Yeah, that's on you're twisting anyway. And when the girl's saying, "These are showing you how to be saved," right? Basically, what would they would say is, "Well, we'd show how to be saved as well. So you just follow us, and it'll be all right, won't it?" Mm. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So he lies even when he's telling the truth. Strange, yeah? That's how he does. Because Paul says there are times when Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so, yet, verse 45, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." Yeah, sad to say. "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Now, that's a claim to make, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there isn't a man standing or a woman standing today on earth that could say that. Yeah. "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Yeah. Because they can't be those. But and I'll tell you, they're becoming hostile. They were said they believed in him for a while, but you know, with the enemies around him as well. If their enemies couldn't find any fault with him, then they've no faults. Yeah. So, right, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm telling you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So why is Jesus telling them that?
They don't realise it.
They don't realise it, and he wants them to realise it. Jesus doesn't tell people off just for the likes of telling people off. He rebukes and challenges them in order to get them thinking straight. Yeah? Thank God he's honest with us. You said he wasn't being diplomatic. Well, being diplomatic means you cover over the cracks. Yeah? Jesus is saying you've got serious cracks, you need fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, here we go. Right, the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon possessed?"
Oh.
Now, what do this is typical. People haven't changed. Did you know that? That's why the Bible's so relevant.
Right,
yeah? Yeah, people do the same things now as they did then.
Trends have changed. You know,
yes,
the road in cars instead of carriages.
Yes, exactly. But technology's altered. But people are the same. What do you do when you've lost the argument? Insult the person who's giving it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. You discredit the person who's told you what you don't like. Yeah. The media does it all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So, they answered him, "Aren't we right in saying you're a Samaritan?" Now, to us, that doesn't sound very bad, does it?
Mm.
Yeah. But if you were a Jew, and you know what the attitudes to the Samaritans were, this is a serious downer on Jesus, yeah? "Aren't we right in calling you a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" They're saying he's lost the plot. Obviously, the devil's taken over. Yeah, so that's insults. They've got no evidence for it, no proof for it. It's just they don't like what they've heard, and so insult the one that said it.
That's what people do to you. I mean, I find it an awful lot with people that I speak to.
Yeah.
They actually turn the tables and accuse you of what you've just told them.
Yes, yes, yeah. So the modern phrase of putting it is, if you don't like the message, shoot the messenger.
Mm.
That's what they're trying. Well, they're going to do that, aren't they?
Mm.
Crucify him soon. Yeah. Anyway, "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honour my Father and you dishonour me." So he comes straight back at them and tells them what they're doing is wrong. Yeah.
Mm.
"I'm not seeking glory for myself. Yeah, so I'm not in it for myself here. Yeah. But there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. That should ought to shake them a bit. God's going to judge them for what they say. Yeah. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. How about that? What does he mean by that? Now, yes, you've got it. You're spiritual people. But remember, these are totally in the dark. What do they hear when they hear Jesus say, when anyone believes what I say, they'll never see death. They'll never taste death. Yeah,
they'll live forever.
They'll be physically living forever.
Yeah.
Like they are. Yeah. He doesn't mean that. But they don't get anything higher than that, so that's what they think. Now then, he says, at this the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. You've really lost the plot now. Yeah. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. And yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. See, yeah. They're thinking physically. Abraham's gone, prophet's gone,
yeah.
And whoever you talk to is going as well. Yeah. So how can you say that when they listen to what you say, they won't taste death? Because they're thinking physically, right? Yeah. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Right, so big noise. Is what they, yes, yeah, that's right, he is. Yeah. Right. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. I'm not boasting about myself, nothing to do with me. My Father, who you claim as your God, notice he's getting back at them again. My Father, who claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. And he will do, and he has done. Yes, because that's where Jesus has come from. Though you do not know him, I know him. Now, Jesus uses a different word to them. Though you do not, you're not acquainted with him, that's the word, right? Or you're not acquainted with him, I know him. Right? We're not rubbing shoulders, we are family. Yeah, that's the point, yeah? Yes, right? I know him, yes. If I said that I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. And there's the challenge again. If you claim you know him, then you do what he says. That's how it works, yeah. Your father Abraham rejoiced. Ah, now then, you see, he's saying your physical father now. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, Jesus is saying something quite remarkable. He's saying is Abraham, when he was alive, he looked forward to the day of Messiah. He heard the promise, he believed what God said, and it was counted to him as righteousness, it says, yeah. So he heard about me coming and he looked forward to my day and he saw it. He saw it by faith. Yeah. He trusted that it would be. And so in a sense he touched the future. Right? And he was glad.
And even David saw the power yes. of God.
Yes.
Didn't he?
So looking forward to the Messiah for these Old Testament believers was their experience of God's blessing. Yeah. And so they, when Abraham saw what God was going to do as maybe as dimly as it was in those early days for the believers, yeah. He says he saw it and he was glad. He was glad to see me coming, is what Jesus is saying. He was glad to see me coming. What about you? That's the challenge, you see.
Yeah?
Right? He was glad. And now then, you're not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you've seen Abraham. Right? Well, that's got nothing to say about how old he was. They're just rounding it up, you know. 50 years is a good number. Yeah. But you see, yeah, you're just a whippersnapper. Have you seen Abraham? Yeah. No, they can't believe anything about that, yes. But what about this? This is one of the most amazing statements in the whole of John's Gospel. Yeah. I tell you the truth. You got that? Underline this. Triple underline. Bold print. Everything else. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Yes? How about that? What's he mean?
He's God. I am.
He's God. Yeah. I existed before Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was there when Abraham was born, and I was there when Abraham died. Yes? And I'll be there when Abraham comes back. Yes? Because I am means ongoing, self-existent, eternal is what it's
and
about.
They knew that as Jews. As
yes,
well.
I mean this is the holy name. What they get, yeah.
When Abraham comes back,
Yeah, he's going to be raised from the dead as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to raise.
Resurrection. Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I'm just testing you. So Jesus makes this astounding claim in front of these people who say they believed in him to start with. Yeah, before Abraham was born, I am.
Adam and Eve.
Is that the first time he's
before right. Adam and Eve? Before creation.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word.
In the beginning was the Word. Before the beginning was the Word. Yeah.
Is that the first time he's actually confessing I am?
No, he's done it in other places, or in other Gospels he has. So yes, yeah.
This was the bit I can find a bit confusing, because they talk about before Jesus died, before he began the sacrifice.
Yes.
That people, their ancestors and everything had gone to sleep, and yet we know Abraham went to heaven.
Yes.
Because
use the term sleep. For two reasons. One is that in the New Testament, sleep means that it's not permanent. We're going to wake.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other is that it's the idea of when someone's died, it looks like they've gone to sleep. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they slept with their fathers is what they mean. They died, basically, yes.
Yeah.
But in the Old Testament, there's less of an understanding, I think, from what I gather anyway, less of an understanding of what the future is for believers. They know there's something good, but they're not quite sure quite how it's all going to work out. It becomes much more clear in the new.
I think as well, I mean, we are in the new age with
the messianic age
technology that's coming along. And I think we need to open our minds up to the fact that he is a supernatural God.
Yeah.
He is more than we can understand.
Absolutely, and he'll always be more than we can grasp in that sense. He's bigger, better, and more amazing.
Surely in the New Testament, I mean, we've just been talking about, I'm not trying to refute it, sort of grandmother, but even so, I think to encourage you in your own prayer life, I would think of Abraham, different people, you know, because they thought of the future.
Yes.
It encourages me to pray
greatly
to look at them.
And when I look back at these old guys, as we've been looking through Genesis with Abraham, I am incredibly impressed. These people didn't have half the information we'd to go on, the experience to go on, and yet they're pioneers of the faith.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're amazing.
They are the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They didn't have it.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, exactly, yeah, they didn't have it, yeah. They had to go on what God gave them, and my, didn't they run with it, you know?
As you always say, you know, go put yourself back to being there, what would we be thinking?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, with hindsight.
So these are giants in the faith, yes, so we're not minimising. So
and Jesus didn't minimise it either, when he was in the temple, when he was a child and that.
Yeah.
He was all talking about all that he'd learned.
What he learned in the scriptures, yes, yeah. Okay, so last verse on this one. So Jesus makes this astounding claim. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Yeah?
Mm.
Why?
Because it's blasphemy. Mm.
They consider it to be blasphemy.
Yeah.
And if it was just Jesus and not the Son of God, it would be blasphemy. Yeah? But Jesus is saying what's true, because he is the Son of God.
He is the truth.
And so, in a sense, quite rightly, they want to stone him because they think he's blaspheming. The problem is, they're wrong, yeah, because they've not got what he's talking about. Yeah, but it shows us this. Again, people have often said Jesus didn't claim to be God. You come across that in some places. Yeah, Jesus did not claim to be God. Well, let me tell you, they didn't stone him, or they weren't threatening to stone him because he said unpleasant things.
No.
Yeah, they were going to stone him because he claimed to be God. Mm. Yes, that was the problem they had.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's
these Jews were like my neighbour, really, because they were saying we're all right because of what Abraham has done.
That's sad in many ways. I mean, I'd like to think that after Jesus' resurrection, some of these opponents, because it says after Jesus rose from the dead, many of the Pharisees came to believe in him. You know, So some of his opponents perhaps look back. Later on, the Spirit began to say, hey, you know, when he talked to you and you were so nasty to him, he was right, wasn't he? Yeah. So maybe, you know, God's... The Lord plants seeds. And you never know when they're going to grow. Yeah. But anyway, they tried to stone him. He says that Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Of course, there's crowds of people around, you know. So he just goes out, disappears.
I would imagine his disciples would have shielded him away.
Shielding him off, yes, yes.
Like bodyguard. Yeah.
Big crowd, disappear into the distance. Why? Because it's not time yet.
But when he selected his disciples, he knew he was condemning them to death.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was going to be betrayed.
Well, yes, but he was condemning them to eternal life as well.
Yes.
But to get there would be a bit of a job, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But he
doesn't ever promise us a raised arm.
No. We found that out, haven't we? No rose gardens.
One thing you can actually guarantee, actually.
Yes.
God did dash promise you hard times.
Yeah. It's there when we go through the bad times, that's where we gain a lot of strength.
Exactly. We've got the Lord with us.
And I think that word through is a very important thing. We don't sit in the problems, we move that way.
Yeah.
You know.
I
just feel that encourages you, whatever situation that centres, that, you know, Jesus was not alone because he had the Father, and I think that is encouraging. Yes. There are times with us when situations, and that to me, you know, is said several times, you know, you're not alone.
No.
You've got the Father, you know, and Jesus was like that.
Yeah.
He says he
depended on Father all the time.
He understands this, you know, in every way.
Yes. One of the lovely things in the Gospels is that Jesus as a man lived the Christian life, you could say, as we're meant to.
Yeah.
Dependent upon God, the Spirit, to work in
us. Yeah. He is.
Yes. Yeah. But the wonderful, just to say, when my Jean was, before she became a Christian, she used to read Jesus as an example, and it was very depressing, because his example is way up there, and our performance is way down there. It was only when she came to realise that Jesus as our example helps inside us can do what we can't do ourselves. Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, there's an encouragement in this. As I said, some seeds have been planted, and I suspect that for all their opposition and their difficulties, the time would come when they'd think, he was right. So you never know. Plant seeds, and even if there's opposition and difficulties, it's because people are blind, and only God can make people see. And it's our responsibility to share the good news, and in sharing it, God opens eyes. We're here because of that. Well, if he can do it for you, he can do it for some more, can't he?
And as I shared with you about a neighbour this morning, I mean, she's been posting on Facebook loads of things about the Lord and Jesus.
Right.
And her daughter has been going through a depression, and she's like, don't want to know anything about it. She came downstairs the other day, and Mandy was really excited. She just turned around and said, oh, sorry, Mum, I'm praying in tongues. And she said, how did she know about tongues?
Yeah.
You know, and I just, you know, that, it's like you said, your eyes are opened through something you're sharing, aren't
they? Yes. There's a lovely hymn we've not sung it for a while. Loved with Everlasting Love. Do you know, it's a great old hymn. He loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. There's one of the verses in, skies above is bluer blue, grass below is greener green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. You know, we just, all of a sudden, instead of black and white TV, we've got the colour when the Lord opens our hearts.
Yeah.
Let's pray anyway. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace to us. We are privileged people, Lord. May we never forget that. May we be humble enough to admit it, Lord. Not to think, Lord, that because we've got some special religious history or some special ancestry, Lord, that somehow that makes us a privileged people. Lord, we're blessed. We thank you for all that's been in the past. Lord, we have a rich heritage in this nation as well. But Lord, it's our personal relationship to you through faith in what Jesus has done, that you've repaired the cracks, Lord. You've made us free. And we thank you, Lord, for your salvation that was dearly bought, Lord, and that you gave your life to set us free from sin. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Amen.
Amen.